female friend I want you to meet here. Her name, excuse me, her name is Lottie. You're going to hear a lot about Lottie today. Because at this time of year, what we have been in the habit of doing the last several years, between kind of Christmas and New Year's, is take a couple weeks off and look at some different people who I call heroes of the faith. People throughout the centuries who have done big things that we need to be reminded of, or if you haven't heard about them, you need to hear about them because it's inspiring. We need heroes in our lives. We're faced with so much problems and so much junk out there in the world. It really helps to have a hero, somebody you can look to and say, it can be done, I can do that, or that kind of thing. So that's what we try to do. So this week and next week, we're going to look at a few lives of people throughout the last 2,000 years. This time, we're going to look at 1800s and the 1900s and look at some fascinating people. And Lottie here is one of them. Brent, let's put a real picture of her up there, if you can, so we can see what she really looks like. Her name is Lottie Moon. Anybody ever heard of Lottie Moon? Okay, several of you. Good. Coming up in a Baptist background, I heard quite a bit about her because she was a fixture in the Southern Baptist churches. Every year around Christmas time, you would start hearing about the Lottie Moon offering. And I didn't know a whole lot about her other than that she was a missionary. But the way that they tried to encourage people to give offerings at Christmas time was to use the story of Lottie Moon. So I thought I would pick out Lottie Moon as somebody that we need to know a little bit more about because she led a really fascinating life. Now you may be thinking, she doesn't look much like the little snow lady here. But they do have one thing in common. Anybody know, can guess what it might be? They're both the same height. Huh. That is how tall Lottie Moon was, 4'3" tall. And I measured the snowman this morning. I was trying to, how can I give a demonstration? I was going to put a piece of tape on me and say, she comes up to here on me. I said, no, I don't want to do that. And then I saw this snowman sitting across the hall. I went out and got my tape measure, and I said, it's the same height. So that's perfect. So as we talk about Lottie, understand, as an adult, that's as tall as she got. And, of course, that's what she looked like. But I just find it interesting that someone as short in stature did as much as Lottie did. So let me tell you a little bit about Lottie's background. She was born in 1840 in Virginia. She was from a traditional Southern family, the Old South. She was born into a family that was very wealthy. She had six brothers and sisters that survived. She had several others that did not make it into adulthood, but seven of the children survived. And she was born into a home that was wealthy, first of all. Among their family of seven children plus mom and dad, they were able to afford 52 servants. So that's pretty nice ratio. I don't think there's a whole lot to do if you've got 52 servants. Wouldn't that be nice, honey, to have? Yeah, she says just having Rollies has been a blessing. But imagine 52 Rollies. But that's the kind of wealth that the family had living on a plantation in Virginia. In fact, not only did they have money, but they had prestige. One of the houses that was owned by their family was also owned by another fellow you're familiar with named Thomas Jefferson. So you can imagine living in a house that Thomas Jefferson lived in, how prestigious that would be. And another one of the houses that they had was built for them by built by a personal friend of George Washington. So they have all this rich history in their family and well-known in the community. In addition to Lottie growing or being born into such a wealthy situation, she was also born into a good spiritual situation. Her parents were both strong, dedicated Christians. Her father, throughout his lifetime, went through a process. You remember we've talked about deists before, people who believe in God as kind of a giant clockmaker. He makes the clock and he winds it up and he steps back and lets the world do what they want to do. That's kind of what deists believe. Her father went through a process where, by reading the scriptures, he realized that God was not a clockmaker. He was in the business of salvation, and that he did interject himself into history time and time again, most specifically through his son, Jesus Christ. So his father, her father, became saved throughout his adult life, and him and her mother raised or attempted to raise the children and with good godly principles. However, she was not very receptive to it. She just, Lottie had her own ideas about things. And she just didn't seem to understand the grace and the nature of God. You see, along this same time that Lottie was growing up, there was another man who was on the scene who was causing quite a stir and influencing people religiously. And his name was Charles Darwin. And Lottie had read his books, and they made sense to her. So she was kind of what you would call a Darwinist at the time. She felt like you didn't really need God, that with this new theory of evolution that had just come out, it explains everything. So it explains a reason for living without having a need for God. So she had this kind of a thought process as she grew up in her formative years, and she just really didn't have much room for God in her life. As she continued to grow and she got into her early teen years, her father died, and you would think that would shake her up a bit and make her realize some of the more important things in life, but it didn't. She just didn't seem to have any influence on her. As she would grow up, and her parents would do things like they would take the Sabbath day very seriously. Of course, they would celebrate it on Sunday. But they took it so seriously that they would not cook any meals on Sunday. So on Saturday, they would prepare all the food for Sunday. So Sunday was kind of a day of eating leftovers or cold food. And Lottie didn't like that. So when the family would go to church on Sunday, she would sneak out of the church, go back home, light the fire, and cook a hot meal, and have it all eaten before the rest of the family got home from church. That's what was important to her, meeting her physical needs. She liked to eat. You wouldn't think somebody that small would have such an appetite, but she had a big appetite, and it was very important to her. She just wasn't interested in the things of God. After her father died, she went off to a school that was called the Virginia Female Institute. It was just a girls' college, kind of a boarding school and college at the same time. And it was also had religious training, Christian training. And while Lottie liked the educational part, again, she wasn't interested in the Christian part. So when they would have their devotions, morning devotions, chapel, things like that, she would always try to get out of it. And you were only allowed so many excused absences, and she was always bordering on having too many, and she did not want to be sent home. So she would try to come up with creative ways to either not go or to sneak out once she got there, and she got her name checked off on the roll if she tried to sneak out. One of the things that she did was chapel would always be announced by the ringing of a big bell at church, and she climbed up in the belfry one night and wrapped the clapper with cloth. So when the next morning, when it's time to ring for the chapel, the bell didn't make any noise. So everybody missed chapel because nobody was awoken by it, so she got to sleep in. She would do little things like that. She was kind of a prankster. She would do little tricks like that. She just had this resistance to God. In fact, she thought of herself as kind of a Renaissance type of person, a person that believes that education is all you need. You don't need anything spiritual, just the material. She had this type of attitude, and she was a writer, too. She liked to write little essays and poetry and things like that that were very secular. And she would even sign her name. She had a pen name, and her pen name was DeVille. And the reason she picked DeVille was because it had the word devil in it. And she was that opposed to God that if she wanted to side one way or the other in a spiritual matter, she preferred siding with the devil than with God. Well, that all changed when Lottie hit about 18 years old, because when she got to that age, there was a evangelist that was coming into town, and they're having a revival. And a bunch of her friends said, Lottie, let's go to the revival. Well, there wasn't a whole lot else to do, so she said, okay, I'll go with you. But her intention on going was to heckle, so to speak, the evangelist and to berate her friend's faith. She had all her arguments and everything ready to go so that when the evangelist started talking, she could respond back, and then she could later respond back to her friends and show them what fools they were and how they needed to be educated like her. Well, as you can imagine, something happened, something clicked, and the thing that clicked was God got a hold of Lottie Moon that night at that revival. She was shaken to her tiny little feet, and she realized something that this guy said made sense, and it caused her to come into conflict with everything she had studied and learned about Darwinism. And so for the next two or three days after that evening, she sat with her two books open and compared and read and thought and processed and struggled. And she came out of that time of solitude with the firm conviction that the Bible was true and Darwin was false. And she made an intellectual and heartfelt decision from that day forward that she would no longer side with the Darwinism, but she would become a committed Christian for Jesus Christ. So it all changed over that couple day period after going to the revival. Immediately, people noticed changes in her. She stopped with all of her naughty little tricks and her skipping of chapel and all these types of things. And she became just excited about being in school and excited about learning about God and reading Scripture. She, from that point on, she took every single class that the college offered. Every class that was offered, she took it. When she graduated, she was declared by the president of the college to be the most, this is an all-women's college, to be the most educated man of the South, which is quite an honor. I guess they did not have a title for the most educated woman, so they called her the most educated man in the South. Now we're getting to her adult years, the years 1860. She's graduated from the college, and if you're know your history, you know that also around this time, the Civil War started. So her being member of the South, she wanted to do what she could do to help the South in the Civil War. So she helped nursing and helping the injured soldiers from the South until the war was over. And then she took a job as teaching, because she loved to teach. She loved to learn, and she loved to teach. So she did some private tutoring for a couple of years. And then in 1867, she heard that her mother was very ill. You know, her father has already died. So she went to help her mom, and they had nice long times of conversation and sharing as her mom was in her final days. And through this process of talking to her mom, God started speaking to her, making her realize that he wanted her to be more than a teacher, that he wanted her to be a missionary. So her mom died, and then she tried to seek the Lord's guidance. Lord, where do you want me to be a missionary? What do you want me to do? And one of her sisters, whose name was Edmonia, and she called her Eddie for short, Eddie had already decided to be a missionary herself and had already gone to China. So Lottie said, I think I'll go to China and be a missionary with Eddie. So at a fairly young age still, this diminutive young lady, single, packed her bags and headed to China, not knowing the language, not knowing the culture, not knowing anything, only knowing that she felt like God wanted her to be a missionary, and this was the only place where she had any contacts at all with her sister. So she arrived in China, brand new missionary. Well, things were not the way she expected them to be when she got there. And she was not the person that she should have been when she got there, because this is not that far off from the time she's even been saved. She's got a lot of baggage. Growing up and her previous intellectual philosophies and all that, she's still dealing with some of this baggage. One of the things that she had was a feeling of racial superiority. She thought she was better than the Chinese people. Probably just because of her upbringing, but she kind of had a bit of a prejudice in her heart. It says her own words reveal the darkness of her enlightened, so-called enlightened heart. Reflecting upon a visit to Shanghai, she said this, where the Caucasian goes, he carries energy, and an inferior race, the Chinese, is aroused by the contact. Do you know what she's saying? She's saying, when I walk into the room, things brighten up because I'm better than you. To the Chinese. That was the attitude she went to China with. China had absolutely no romantic appeal to her. She had a much better growing up in the United States in Virginia. But she went there because she felt God wanted her to go there. So she had some problems, as you might imagine, going to a mission field with this type of attitude. She experienced a lot of loneliness. All she had was her sister that was over there. And the Chinese people were so fascinated with this new person that didn't look like them that they constantly were surrounding her and touching her clothes, touching her hair, which was a different color than theirs and a different texture, and they were very curious about her. She didn't have any time alone. They were always kind of pestering her. They would ask her questions all the time and comment on her manners, which were totally different than theirs. And they had this kind of childlike inquisitiveness about her. So it put a lot of pressure on her. She was lonely, and at the same time, she couldn't be alone. So it started out really rough for her. During the time that she was over there, also on top of everything else, China experienced two bouts with the Black Plague, bubonic plague, as well as famines. They had famines where people were literally starving to death. So she's got all of this going on, and being in this new environment, and having this preconceived notions about herself that she was better than other people. So as you can imagine, God had some work to do with her. And God started working on Lottie over there. And he basically used a couple things to work on her. Number one, he used the scriptures. She was dedicated to reading the scriptures. And she tells us in her letters, she was a prolific letter writer, that how she was changed over time as she just got into God's word. Other things that really changed her life. I got my page out of order here. three things, three events that happened to her that really dramatically changed her from this selfish superiority feeling type of person into the person that we know of her as today. First thing that happened to her, and all three of these were painful to her. Her sister, Eddie, shortly after she got there, within a couple years, started getting really, really sick and kind of became bedridden and really couldn't help her with anything in the ministry. And finally, they realized she had to go back home or she was going to die. So she accompanied Eddie back to the United States just for the purposes of getting her back here. And then she went back. Now, imagine, just if you will, you're in a strange land. You haven't quite gotten the hang of things yet. And the only person, the only family member that you had over there with you is now gone. It was a time of terrible loneliness for her, painful. But it forced her to get her companionship from the Lord and to get her strength from the Lord, her encouragement from the Lord. This was a process that Lottie went through, which she later in life would say was greatly helpful to her. The second painful thing that she underwent was from a romantic standpoint. When she brought her sister back, she ran into a fellow who used to be her professor when she was in school, not too terribly removed from her age-wise. His name was Crawford Howell Toy. And they kind of liked each other back then. And when she came back, they kind of, this relationship that they had kind of started up again. And she was happy. She was excited. She had a boyfriend. And she wondered, is this the guy I'm going to marry? But it turns out as they would have discussions about things that were important in life, such as your belief in God and all, she found out that Mr. Toy was like she used to be. He was a deist. He was maybe even an atheist to some extent. But he certainly didn't have any hunger for God. And as she talked with him about her experiences in China and what God was doing over there, he wasn't interested. And she realized by talking with him that for two people to be yoked together and to be happy, they had to agree on some really basic things, such as your concept of God. And even though she very much loved him and very much wanted to be around him, she told him, I cannot consider any deep relationship with you because of how you feel about God. And God's not important to you, and he's very important to me. So she had to go back to China again, now with not only her sister not being there, but with a broken heart because of the views that about God that Toy had rejected. Well, when she got back to China, she had her third disappointment because one of the people that was another missionary, a man by the name of Halcom, he resigned his post about the time she got back. And he said that the reason he resigned his post is he no longer believed in Jesus. Now, can you imagine that? You go back to the mission field. Your co-laborer in Christ turns away from the faith. And there you are all alone by yourself. Very painful thing. Same thing happened to Billy Graham, by the way. I think you might be familiar with that story. Another evangelist that started out with him rejected Christ. And Billy went on and he didn't. But anyway, Halcom left the mission field, depleting the numbers of laborers for Christ in China. You can imagine the effect it had on Lottie. But through these three trials, she changed. She became a different type of person. Her whole focus changed. God spoke to her and said, Lottie, I don't want you so much to be a teacher, which is what she went over there for. I want you to be an evangelist. I want you to get out and start talking to people about me. And that's what she did. And that's when everything changed. That's when her ministry exploded. She had the ability to reach the Chinese women and children. And you know how she did it? She did it. First, they wouldn't talk to her because she looked funny and they didn't trust her and that kind of stuff. She did something that Karen would have done. She started baking cookies. And what she would do is put a plate of cookies on her windowsill. And the kids would come by and start taking the cookies. And they got, you know, you feed a dog, a stray dog, and he'll keep coming back to your house. Well, the kids kept coming back and getting more and more cookies. She kept baking more and more cookies. She started developing relationships with the children. And then the moms came. They want to know who's giving cookies to my kids. So the moms start eating the cookies. Lottie starts sharing Christ with the moms and the children. They start having little Bible clubs and little Bible studies. And she has a tremendous impact. The women started accepting Christ. The children started accepting Christ in record numbers. And then here come the men. What's different about my wife? So now she starts teaching men and women and children. And she goes deep in inland China and has a tremendous, over the next, she was over there about 40 years. The first, basically half of it she was doing teaching. The last half of it she was doing evangelism. And probably the most enduring legacy that Lottie left was not even that. It was her letters home back to her church and to her mission board where she would tell of what's going on. She started getting people excited about wanting to go on the mission field because of these people getting saved. And because of her, she would send letters pleading for people, please come over. The harvest is white. It's ready to be picked. I need help. The laborers are few. And people came. And also she said, we need money. These people over here are literally starving to death to buy food. So as a result of her letters, which were tremendous, had tremendous impact with the church, they started an organization called the Baptist Women's Missionary Union, WMU, still going on today. And the WMU was inspired by Lottie Moon. And the WNU took on the challenge of funding these foreign missions. So they started a Christmas offering called the Lottie Moon Christmas Offering. It all started because they were inspired by Lottie Moon. Now, as she got, I have to get to the end of her life here. Economically, when she was, approaching a little over 60 years old, the famines were there. People were starving to death. She had food, but she refused to eat the food when her Christian friends were starving. So she constantly gave her food away. And she got weaker and weaker and weaker. And she finally got to the point where her friends told her, you're going to die, you know. So they were going to send her back to the United States so she could hopefully recuperate, get her strength back and all. It was on her passage back towards the United States. Hadn't even left. She was in Japan where she died from complications of starvation. Lottie Moon, this little tiny thing, weighed 50 pounds when she died. And it was voluntary. She could have eaten, but she loved the people. What's that? Yeah, she loved to eat. She could have done it, but she loved the people more. And when word got back that she died of starvation because there wasn't enough food and wasn't enough funds to buy food, you can imagine what this did to the efforts to send resources to China to continue on this mission and to send people. It had a tremendous effect. Lottie Moon didn't know it, but the way she lived her life and the way she died would explode the Christian ministry to China. So she had a tremendous passion for Jesus. She exercised that passion. Glenda read a little thing in Sunday school. I don't know what the title of it, Glenda, but you kept saying, talking about a person who was obsessed with Christ. And as you read that, everything you read that described a person who was obsessed by Christ, it fit with Lottie Moon. How she gave up everything Think about walking away from a very comfortable life with 52 servants and all the food that you wanted to eat. And she wound up giving her own personal fortune towards this ministry in China. There's several things that I want to close by saying that we can learn from the life of Lottie Moon. Number one, she was a constant student. She was always trying to learn. That's the way we should be. We should never get to the point in our life where we say, okay, I got it. You know, I don't need to learn anything else. God is always wanting to teach us something. And she was always in that mindset of, I want to learn as much as I can and I want to teach as much as I can. Secondly, she constantly inquired into how she might best use her life for the service of the king. You remember she started by getting saved, then she was teaching, and then God revealed to her that she needed to be a missionary. And later on, God revealed to her that she needed to drop her prejudices. And later on, God revealed to her that she needed to share her food. And so she went through a process of this, always trying to see how her life could best be used. She wrote all these letters back, and it was just wonderful how she was always in that mode. Lottie Moon, we see an example of a genuine follower of Christ. This is where I can identify with her, where I think we can all identify with her. When she came to Christ, she had a lot of baggage. She had all these prejudicial leanings and feelings that maybe she didn't even know she realized she had. But little by little, as she drew closer and closer to Christ, he started showing her her imperfections. And she, instead of hanging on to her imperfections, hanging on to her feeling of superiority, she let them go. And she said, I want to be like you, Jesus. That's a lesson we can all learn. Not to be proud. Not to think that we're special or that we've got some kind of gift that God has given us that other people don't have and we should be praised because of it. No. Lottie laid her life down and she laid her gifts down and she discarded as rubbish her feelings of superiority. She grew to be Christ-like in her service, and her life was truly a living sacrifice that we're told to be. Finally, we look at her life, and we can compare it to one other person that was in her life, and that was Mr. Toy, Crawford Toy, her love interest. And we see two people who started out the same and wound up going down two different pathways in life. And we see how their life turned out. If you look at Toy, you see somebody who, like the rich young ruler, gained the whole world. This guy wound up being a Harvard professor. He was very well loved by his students. He was acclaimed as a brilliant scholar. But in the end, Mr. Toy forfeited his soul. What good does it do to gain the whole world and forfeit your soul? He turned atheist, and he forfeited his soul. Lottie, on the other hand, she gave up everything in this life to try to serve Christ and to try to bring others into the kingdom of the world. In her life, she suffered greatly. She suffered from depression. She suffered from loneliness. She suffered from hunger. She suffered from abandonment. She suffered from the loss of love. But she turned to Jesus for every single one of these losses that she had. And she was filled with the love of Jesus Christ. And she overcame these hurts and these losses by directing her desires towards Jesus. Her suffering that she experienced was great, and eventually it cost her her life. But we know today that Lottie Moon is in heaven experiencing the rewards. And I'll bet she's a lot taller than that, too. She's experiencing the rewards of a life truly dedicated to the Lord. So that's encouraging to me that somebody like Lottie Moon, who really gave up everything for the cause of Christ and allowed her her life to be constantly scrutinized by Jesus and changed. What a great hero that is. What great examples for all of us to go along those same lines and just be open all the time to God saying, I want to change, Kurt, I want you to change this in your life. I want you to change that. I want you to drop this and add that type of thing. That's what she did her whole life. And she changed the world as a result of it. There are millions of Christians in China today that in all likelihood would not be Christians had it not been for her and that one life that she lived. So it just goes to show you what one life dedicated to Christ can do. Lottie Moon. Now, I have another one, but I don't have time today for another one. Next week, I'm going to tell you about another hero of mine. You may not know him by name, R.G. Latorno. Anybody ever heard of him? Charlie Boone's heard of him. Okay, a few of you have. Before you get home today, you will see evidence of Latorno's life as you drive down the highways. I'll just tell you that. He came along about the time Lottie Moon was fading off the scene. He was coming on the scene. So he's going to be early 1900s. But what a man of God this guy was. I can't wait to tell you more about him. Latorno, next week. In the meantime, we're going to close in prayer, and I want you to just think a minute about Lottie's life and think about what you have learned and how maybe this new year, which starts tomorrow, you can take into your life a couple of the traits, a couple of the characteristics that Lottie Moon had so that 2018 will be a transformation year for you, just like Lottie had her years of transformation. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you today for another opportunity to come in your house, Lord. And today we have looked at a life that was very well lived, the life of Lottie Moon, Lord. And we've seen how this tiny little gal gave up everything for you. She gave up love. She gave up money. She gave up companionship. She gave up even the desire to eat large amounts of food. She did it all for you, Lord. And she allowed you to come into her life, change her, to mold her and break her, and to fill her with you, Lord, and just to show the world what can be done as a tiny little single girl in China. So, Lord, as we look at her life, may we be also likewise open in our lives to listen to your still small voice, to be willing to change, to not be hard-headed, to not be stagnant, but to want to grow and to want to see what it is you want to do in our life, Lord. We thank you for her life. We pray it may be an example to us as we go throughout this week. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.